When my kids were younger, we had a book of unusual facts. You know how kids love that stuff. And in this big, huge book, there was a list of 100 phobias that my kids were enormously entertained by. So they were so odd, right? There was one that was barophobia. It's the fear of gravity. What? Then dendrophobia is the fear of trees. Who's scared of a tree? But some on the list seemed incredibly normal to me, like cauldrophobia, it's the fear of clowns. Or amphibophobia, the fear of teenagers. I read an article in the Mercury News a few months ago about people that suffer from Jephyrophobia. I had to write down the pronunciation for that. Jephyrophobia. Does anybody know what that is? Jephyrophobia. It's the debilitating fear of crossing bridges. Okay, we've got one. And that's a problem if you live in the Bay Area, right? Because there's a lot of bridges. You have to go a long way out of your way. It's such a problem here. And a lot of people suffer from it, that there are, did you know, special officers at all of the state-owned bridges that will help you get across. Yes. They are assigned to help panic-stricken drivers from one side to the other. One woman was trying to cross the Golden Gate Bridge recently, and she had this epic meltdown. And an officer, Sanchez, offered to follow her over the bridge and said, "You can drive as slowly as you want. I'll be right behind you." And he assured her that he was going to be there every step of the way. And she did it. She made it across the bridge. And there he was with her in her utter panic and literally frozen with fear. And he had calming words and a plan. He gave her comfort, and then he drove behind her as she crossed to the other side on her own. Sometimes that's all we need, right? We don't need magic, but we need someone to help us know that fear cannot paralyze us forever, that we are free. Fear cannot paralyze you forever to go across that bridge. After a week of 24-hour news cycle covering unspeakable gun violence and senseless loss of life and the political arguments of gun legislation that follow, the first line of our gospel today is really working for me. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I heard someone say once that this encapsulates all of the gospel into one verse, because it's the assurance that we need to hear to keep going and not go down a hole of despair when the world around us seems to be in chaos. Our Father's good pleasure is to give us the kingdom, a world of mercy and justice and peace, an existence without fear. We have the precious words of comfort, and then we get a road map of the plan that Jesus has for us to be truly free and all the things that separate us from the kingdom. And you know what? The Gospels are full of freedom stories. I can just hear Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb, "Come out!" And the audible astonishment of the crowd gathered to witness a reanimated corpse shuffling from the darkness of the tomb into the light of the future. Jesus' command to the onlookers was, "Unbind him and let him go." And go he did. We don't know much about his ministry, but we do know that the religious officials wanted him dead so that he could not speak of this miracle. Don't be afraid, little flock. Even death will not stop us. Jesus will set us free. I can picture the bent woman at the synagogue who was unable to stand up straight. She was in need of healing. And the officials were aghast and said, "Jesus, you've got 6 other days of the week to do your healing. Why would you do it on the Sabbath?" But he told the women, "You are freed from your sickness. Because why should anyone wait to be free when you can be free right now?" And you know what she did when she was free of her pain and her crooked back? She stood up tall and she began glorifying God with all of her being. Don't be afraid to buck the system, little flock. Jesus sets us free. And what about poor Zacchaeus? Anybody know that story? He was hated by everyone, even himself, really, for all the dirty dealings he'd been part of not speaking out, of being part of an unjust system, of playing a part for political and monetary gain. But Jesus saw him even up in that tree and invited himself for dinner and changed the narrative of a corrupt life into something beautiful. A man changed that had the power to make more change for the kingdom. Don't be afraid of redemption, little flock. Jesus sets us free. Remember the story of the paralyzed man that was on the cot, and his friends lowered him down through a hole in the roof to receive Jesus' healing? His faith and that of his friends were so strong that they believed that Jesus had the power to make this man move again. It may not be easy for us to relate to that guy, but in a way, aren't we paralyzed too sometimes? Aren't our hands sometimes unable to reach out to those who are in need? Aren't our legs stuck in our own bog of unknown that we do nothing rather than something that we aren't sure of? Aren't our mouths frozen shut sometimes when we should be proclaiming the hope of Christ in a world that's full of despair? Don't be afraid of the unknown, little flock. Jesus sets us free. Jesus does set us free, but not in the way that the world thinks. Because true freedom is not at all about personal rights, like so many tout as the American way. It's not about just me or you. Real freedom is a grace given from the risen Lord. And freedom is not given by a personal Jesus that can be owned by a few that pay enough or pray enough or do all sorts of good works, but by a Jesus that died for all of us. All of us, every race, every physical and mental state. Freedom is then not a personal right, but a corporate responsibility. Freedom is not what I have the right to do, but what I am called to do for mankind in the name of Jesus to ensure freedom for all God's children. My rights are never, ever more important than God's kingdom, mercy, justice, and peace for all of creation. The first step to this true freedom is to align our wills with God's will and let Christ be our guide across the bridge, leaving our fears on one side as we cross into a new reality of the kingdom of God. The next step is truly living into Christ and through Christ in his death and miraculous resurrection. But this living is not supposed to be passive living. We've been given a precious gift that is not for us to hoard, but it's to share. Our invaluable time, our precious love, and yes, even our money. Where is it to go? To efforts that encourage the kingdom, that encourage mercy and justice and love, to efforts that help dispel debilitating fear and promote liberating freedom for all. And I mean all, even people that don't believe like we do, even people that are not Christians. Don't be afraid, little flock. Jesus wants us to be free, and he'll be with us as we move and act as Christ's hands and feet in the world. In the words of my hero, Martin Luther King Jr., darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. So we as Christians must speak for peace and act for true freedom, not just what powerful lobbyists want us to believe is freedom, but our money should be where the heart of Christ is. Use our time to bring the kingdom. We should work to drive out hate with love. Jesus yearns for us to actively and vigilantly and outspokenly, unceasingly love this broken world across to the other side of the bridge. The kingdom of God, in a place of true freedom. Amen.